Well, I certainly feel very needy this morning. I desire your prayers. I have a thought that the Lord inspired me with yesterday. I've been inspiring me with it for some time. Yesterday, the Lord started opening up some things, and I want to share it this morning. We've been talking about, had a burden that we would live a life of faith. And this morning, Lord willing, we will give the conclusion of the series of messages about living by faith. The place where I have the main thought is in Habakkuk 2 and verse 4, and where it says, "The just shall live by his faith." Just to review a little, we've been talking about things that hinder that life of faith. And the three that the Lord burdened me with in particular were envy, pride, and fear. And we've talked about each one of those previously. They're all cousins. They have the same root in that they short-circuit our walk of faith. They short-circuit the walk that God wants us to have with Him. I want to start with Hebrews, the 11th chapter. This is, I guess, called the faith chapter. And we're going to be reading quite a bit in it today. Today I want to read the first three verses. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report." This is what the patriarchs and the people that we read about in the Bible, this is how they lived their life. This is how they got their testimony, is by a life of faith. "Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." You know, in this life, we have things that we can see, and we have things that we can put our hands on, and we can say, you know, I can see that row of chairs right there. It's there. But there are things in our life that we cannot see. And there are things that we can see evidence of that we cannot see. And God, that is what God wants us to have in our life, is a belief in Him when we can't always see Him and perceive Him. He wants to lead us through places that we don't know where we're going. He wants to do great and mighty things for us. I think about, there's a scripture that says, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, "Be thou removed and be cast into the sea." That sounds pretty drastic, doesn't it? And we like to say, well, you know, that's figurative and everything. I want to tell you, the Lord wants to do things for us. He knows the path that we need to take. And in our life, there are mountains. And I want to tell you, if there was ever a time that there was a literal mountain, and that was the way, if that was what needed to happen, it would move. If we had the faith for it, I believe that the Lord works mightily through our faith. And the more faith that we can have, the more we're going to see Him work. I want to read in Romans, the first chapter. Desire your prayers this morning. I have a lot that I'd like to bring out, and I need the Lord. If the Lord doesn't meet with us this morning, you're in for a very boring time. Romans 1 and 16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. There is a progression. When we start out our life, our walk with God, did you know there's one thing? When we come to present ourselves to God and repent and be saved, there is one thing we have to have. There is a little bit of faith that we have to have. And I want to get into that in just a little bit. I'll read down Romans, continue here. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. I'm just thinking about in the world today, Jesus asked a question when He was on the earth. He said, when I come back, am I going to find faith? When the Son of Man returns, shall He find faith on the earth? And I want to look around us at the world today and the shape that we're in. There are never in history has there been a time where there was so much discovery of science, technology. And yet, it seems like there is a greater and greater departure from a belief in God. This is where it starts. I want to tell you, God is a reasonable God. He doesn't expect us to just all of a sudden believe in something that we have no evidence of. There is so much evidence in the world that God has put. This is what Romans 1 and 20 is talking about. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. I want to tell you that in the world today, I see God's handiwork all over this creation. Think about the construction of trees, the way that the leaves are on the branches. Do you know many of those things, many of the flowers, the way that the petals are arranged in a precise mathematical sequence called the Fibonacci sequence. You look at these numbers, the Fibonacci numbers, and I don't really want to get into that in detail this morning, but it's a series of numbers that's mathematical. And if you look in nature, you can see that everywhere. It's everywhere. Is that an accident? No, it's not an accident. How could it be an accident? There are the fingerprints of God are everywhere in nature and in His creation. He put those things here. I talked to a man that a while back that is deep into the study of physics, and he said the deeper you go into physics and in math and in science, the more and more and more you can see the evidence of God in those things. The way that numbers coincide so precisely, the way that patterns manifest themselves over and over again, the complexities of things and the systems that the Lord's designed, where you have one system over here that depends on this one over here, and this one in turn depends on that one over there, and where they all work together perfectly. God gave us a lot of evidence. And we can look at that. I want to tell you, if I'd never been taught about God, and if I got into nature and I started studying it, I'd start looking and I'd say, where? where is the person that designed all this? The complexity of the human eyeball. You ever studied that? The things that have to happen, so many calculations that have to be performed for me to pick up this bottle of water. It's incredible. I would start looking and I'd say, where's the creator of all this? And today, we have many people that are turning aside from what is very evident, and they're denying that there is anything that exists apart from what they see. God doesn't expect us to start from absolutely nothing in our walk of faith. He gives us a starting point. What a starting point. He did everything so evidently that we can see. I want to go to Hebrews 11 again and read the 6th verse. It says, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Why must we believe that as a starting point? Because there's enough evidence to. Because God has manifested himself where if we seek him with all our heart, God said he's not far from every one of us. Going back to the scripture, it says the just shall live by faith. I felt like that the Lord impressed me with the thought, the just must live by faith. This is something that when we get saved and when we start our life with Jesus, the Lord will give us steps, each higher than the other, and we build on our faith. And the more that we believe, and the more trust that we put in God, the more that we're going to see. You know, there's a scripture that Jesus, I'm going to read it over here in Matthew, the 18th chapter. It says, Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. You know, I've been impressed with the faith of little children sometimes. I remember times when some of my children have been sick. And they say, Daddy, pray. I want to get better. Pray the Lord will make me better. You know, the Lord sees that. There's something in there. It's just an implicit trust. If I pray, the Lord's going to help. The Lord's able to do it. That's what God wants us to do. That's how God wants us to be in our lives. You know, the Lord knows where we're at all the time. He knows what level our faith can take in all the time. And he doesn't expect anything unreasonable. But I will tell you what he does expect from us. He expects us to reach as high in faith as we can, as we have knowledge of at that time. And I want to explain a little bit about what I mean about that. If I stand on my tiptoes in my house, I can touch the ceiling. I worked with a guy that's almost a foot taller than I am. And he could put up crown without a ladder. I mean, he'd just reach up there and everything. He can reach a lot higher than I can. When we bring the ladder out, guess who gets the ladder? I do. I need it. He doesn't need it. You know, when we have children, I don't expect my 2.5-month-old baby girl to feed herself, to dress herself. I don't expect her to go walk and get a cup of water. We do all those things for them. I don't expect my 3-year-old to drive a car. But there are times if one of my children said, I don't want to get water anymore. I don't want to get a cup of water anymore. I want you to do it for me. I'd say, no, you've learned how to do this. Yeah, I might get them for them sometimes, but it's not going to be the norm. I want to tell you, God expects us. I'm having a hard time explaining what I mean this morning. God expects us to reach in faith as high as we can at the time. And when we reach that, it's good enough. It's always good enough. I want to tell you, I had a year and a half ago an experience where I came to the place. I had a very difficult situation. And I came to the place, I said, Lord, I don't see a way out. I was totally helpless. I said, I don't see a way out. I don't see a path forward. I prayed, I sought the Lord, I did everything I knew to do. And when I prostrated myself before the Lord, and I said, Lord, here I am, just like this. This is all I can give you. This is all I know what to do. You need to work here. Did you know the Lord came at that time? I went to church the next day, and the Lord sent a message. It was like, I told someone later, I said, it's like the preacher had just been listening over my shoulder while I was pouring out my heart to God. It's like he had just been acquainted with the situation. The Lord poured out something that was just what I needed. It was just the answer I needed. It was exactly, the Lord met me exactly where I was at. And the Lord will meet you where you're at, where you're truly at. The Lord, do you know, in our life, the Lord wants to lead us farther and farther in faith. Do you know we can ask for things and the Lord will give them to us? We can ask for wisdom. In James it says, any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. That word upbraid means he doesn't chide you or doesn't get on to you because you didn't have it. He doesn't say, you know, this is something you should have already had. If you ask of the Lord, I was thinking about those of us that have young children. I don't have a lifetime of experience. I didn't have a practiced child. We get the real thing from the very start. But I was just thinking about this scripture and how valuable it is to me. If we don't have the wisdom we need, we can ask of God. We can ask the Lord to help us. I believe that when we ask him, it says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. Did you know the Lord knows that we need wisdom to know how to raise our children? Did you know how he knows we need wisdom to know how to deal with people in business and in all kinds of situations in our life? Did you know that the Lord said, just like you wouldn't give your son a stone if he asked for I can't remember the exact wording, but if he asked a piece of bread, would you give him a stone? He said, the Lord knows how to give good things to them that ask him. If we need it, we can have it. But we need to ask and we need to have faith. This is the ingredient here. I was thinking about The Lord likes to help us even in little things. Just, I was amazed the other day. I was working in the shop, and I am not of an artistic nature at all. I do things according to math, numbers. And you have something where you tell me to do a freehand curve or something like that. I have a hard time with that because there's not anything hard I can look at and say, all right, I need to make it to these specifications. But I went down in the shop the other day, and I had a cabinet, and I had to cut and sand two half ovals on a cabinet. And the last time I tried to do it was just a few weeks ago, and I ended up just being a total flop. I mean, it just did not work. And I knew before I started, I said, oh boy, I'm going to get in trouble here. And it ended up that I called my dad and I said, Dad, you know, I can build this cabinet, but I cannot carve these ovals. Will you help me? And Dad, he just came and whipped it out in about 5 minutes and was gone. And I said, wow, that's amazing. Well, Dad wasn't here. And I had to get past this point. Because I had to get this cabinet done, and so I prayed, and I said, Lord, you can help me do this. And I just asked the Lord to give me an artist touch for 5 minutes. Not in those exact words, but I got that saw, and I cut those ellipses, those ovals, perfect. I mean, I was amazed. I got done, and I looked at it, and I said, well, those are better than the ones Dad did on the other cabinet. It was the Lord knew that was, I had gone as far as I could go, that I needed to get that done, and the Lord knew Dad was gone. Dad was in another state, and the Lord cared about that little thing for me, and he just gave me the ability to do it at that time. I don't know if I'll be able to ever do it again. Maybe I should have prayed for a permanent ability there. We have problems in our lives a lot of times. And we have a lot of times we'll say, you know, I've dealt with this for years. I've struggled with this problem for years. I've had this addiction for years. I don't think that I'll ever be able to get over this. I want to tell you that that's not what the Bible says. The Bible teaches us that with faith we can move mountains. And there are mountains in our life a lot of times. I believe the Lord wants us to get to the point where we can look at that mountain, like it says in the Bible, and say, be thou removed. Get out of here. We're going to take care of this. And the Lord will meet us at that point if our faith is strong enough to believe that the Lord can remove those mountains, whether they be spiritual or temporal, literal, however we need. If that's what we need, the Lord has the power to get rid of those things in our life for us. But we have to have the faith to believe that He can do it and that He will do it if we need it. I want to go back to Hebrews 11 and talk about some of the other guys in there, and the men and women that they did some amazing things and they went through some experiences. I want to go to the 32nd verse and read about some of those people. Said, what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel and of the prophets. If you read about each one of those, they did things that were incredible through the power of God. And a lot of the times, those people, I want to add Joshua to that list. And well, let's go down. It says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. These are not just abstract things. These are actual things. You ever been thrown down into a den of lions? I doubt any of us have, but Daniel was. And when he was, it was a literal problem. It was something he needed. he needed the Lord to deliver him. The Lord closed the mouths of the lions all night long, and they didn't hurt him. Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant and fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. And others, now we're getting into another part here. These were people of faith too, but listen what happened to them. They were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. These people had a vision of what it was to walk close to God. Some of them would get in trouble and the Lord would deliver them. Others, and other times, they would get in trouble and the Lord would choose not to deliver him. You know, I think about the three Hebrew children. When they went into the fire, it's not like we have this thing where we say, you know, if I get saved, God's going to put me in a bubble. Nothing's going to happen to me. I'm going to be protected. I'm not going to have anything bad happen. I'm not going to lose my house. I'm not going to lose my wife. I'm not going to lose my car. No. One of the three Hebrew children, I can't remember which one it was, he said, O king, when the king said, you better fall down or I'm going to throw you into the furnace. He said, O king, we're not careful to answer you in this matter. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to decide, well, is this really worth it? He said, we know that our God is able to deliver us from the furnace. You put us in there and God is able to get us right back out. But if not, if you throw us in there and the Lord chooses to let us burn, we're still not going to serve your God. We're not going to worship the image that you've set up. That is the place where the Lord wants us to get to. I feel like the God wants us to get to the place in our life where we're willing to go anywhere or do anything for Him with no strings attached. Not forbearing or withholding something because we're afraid it's going to be taken away from us. We're afraid of what's going to happen. But put ourselves in the place where the Lord will take care of us. He'll take care of us. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. A lot of times we think that that if the Lord calls us to do something, he's going to show us the pathway to do it, and we're going to know exactly what we're going to be doing, and we're not going to know exactly how we're going to get there. And you know, well, I don't feel like the Lord wants me to do this because he hasn't worked out the means for my support with this. I think it was Brother Darius Gibson, one of my great uncles that was a minister. The Lord told him, I want you to go to a place sometime. One time the Lord said, I want you to go to this place. I want you to go to a meeting. And I can't remember if it was a meeting or not, but he had to take a train. It was a long ways away. Well, there was a problem with that. He didn't have any money. And so the time came to leave. He did not have the money. And so what do you think he did? Did he say, well, I'm going back to work. The Lord didn't provide the funds. He went to the train station. He said, I'm going. Did you know somebody came up to him and handed him the money while he was at the train station to buy his ticket? Sometimes we need to step in the water, so to speak, before we'll see the working of God. Remember when the Israelites crossed the Jordan River? When Joshua, after Moses died, and they said, all right, we're going into Canaan. And the Lord said, I'm going to back up the river of Jordan for you. But you got to step in the water first. Now, all those priests, just imagine they're going out there and they wade in the water. And I imagine that at least some of them were thinking, you know, what if we get out here in the water and all we do is cool our feet and the water doesn't stop flowing? What are we going to do? Jordan was a big river. Sometimes we are afraid to do something and we won't act on faith because we're afraid we're going to look silly if it doesn't work. Do you know, I believe the Lord wants us to get over our fear of that too. I'm not talking about just going and saying, oh, I believe I can jump over that car and I'm just going to go do it. If the Lord tells us to do something and we know it's the Lord, I believe we can do it without being afraid of what's going to happen, even if we start doing it and we don't see any results. We need to get over our fear of looking like a fool. We need to consecrate to being able to look like a fool if need be. You know, the Lord wants to do great things for us. I remember a story my dad likes to tell. When he was a teenager, he went. Brother Tommy Melo was conducting some meetings, and they had a bus that they would drive around. And this is a very interesting bus. It didn't have a reverse function. It had the gear shift, and you could slide it into the reverse position, but the functionality was gone. And so you had to be real careful with where you pulled this bus up into, make sure there was a place to pull it on through and keep driving. Well, one time they were on a trip, and they said, hey, that grove of trees up in there, that looks like a good place to stop and pray. Let's go pray for a while. So they pulled their bus up in there. My dad was with them. And so they started praying. Well, they pulled into a dead end. There was no way out except backwards. Big bus, couldn't push it. Well, when they got done, they said, uh-oh, what are we going to do now? Well, I'll tell you what they did. They laid hands on that bus and they prayed for it and begged the Lord to help them out. And then they got in that bus. My dad was right there. He saw it. He was there. They got in that bus. They put it in reverse and they backed out and they went on their way. And the reverse never worked again after that. That really happened. But you know, what if, I imagine that they had to fight the feeling, you know, if this doesn't work out, I'm going to look stupid. Here I am laying hands on a bus, praying for it. What if it don't work? You know, that if the Lord inspires you to do something or pray for someone, you know, there's been times that even in recent times I've heard of ministers that have laid hands on someone that has just died and prayed for them. That would take a lot of courage. That would take a lot of courage. And I don't think that that's something that we need to just do lightly. But if the Lord tells us to do something and we know it's the Lord, we need to do it. We need to get over our fears. Think about Noah. You know, he spent 100 years building a boat in a place. He didn't build it in the water. He built it up on dry land. And can you imagine? If someone did that today, they would make a tourist attraction. Somebody would buy up all the land around it, and they'd have a fence around there, and they'd have I can just see the big sign, Noah's Folly. Let's go see this boat that's 500 feet long. It's up on dry land. What's a flood? It's never even rained here. What is rain? I don't even know what rain is. It had never rained before. And Noah's over there building this big boat. He didn't even build it on the lake. He just built it up on dry land because he knew what would happen. You know, the day came when he was glad that he didn't listen to the jeers and the mockings of all those people. There was a day where he was awful glad that he just followed the Lord and did what the Lord told him to do. I really appreciate my grandpa, my mom's dad. He was a man. He didn't care what it looked like. He didn't care. He would follow the Lord. And a lot of times we'd kind of look at each other and laugh and say, you know, I think he's more in the next world than he is over here. And he was. A lot of times he was so in tune with God, and he would, I appreciate him. I remember he called me one time and he said, Joseph, he said, I'm sorry, I'm trying to work on my Bible lessons and my computer is broken. It just will not work. And I was so tied up right then, I couldn't help him. And I said, Paw, can I call you back? I'm going to have to. Well, what I didn't know was that he was in a big hurry too. And I called him after a while, and I think I actually forgot about him maybe. And I called him a few days later. I said, Paw, I'm sorry. What can I do for you? He said, you can do nothing for me. He said, you know, I laid hands on that computer, and I had to teach him how to use a mouse. He didn't know. He was so computer illiterate. He started from the basic of the basic. But he said, you know, I didn't know what was wrong with that computer. He said, I had to use it. He said, I laid my hands on that computer, and the Lord inspired me to pray for this computer. He said, and it just started working. It's fixed. There's nothing wrong with it. That was the kind of life he lived. He did that all the time. He trusted God for his finances. He trusted God for his healing. He trusted God for everything. And I saw that. And he was one of the happiest, most fulfilled people I ever met in my life. He lived a wonderful life. He wasn't rich. But that's the kind of life I want. You know, there's a song, number 289 in our book, and the last verse of it says, walking with Jesus till we shall meet. When in his likeness I stand complete, where with the ransomed in heaven's light, my faith is lost in sight. You know, there's coming a day where faith is one thing we're not going to need anymore. Our faith will be blended into, it's going to be sight, because we're going to see all these things that we believe about now. I want to look at Hebrews 11 and the 5th verse. This really challenges and impresses me. It says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. In Genesis, it said that Enoch walked with God. He only lived to be 365 years old. It's a long time, but it's not a long time compared to the lives some of them lived back there. But you know, if you give me this liberty, I believe that Enoch got to a place that said he walked with God. He lived such a life of faith. And this is what I was talking about earlier. He got to where he walked so closely with God that he was more over in the next world than this one, so to speak. All those things that he believed in were so real to him that there came a point where I believed that sight was the only thing left. And God just took him at that point. He was so close to things were so real to him. He believed in God. He walked with God. He talked with God. He was so close that there came a point God said, I'm just going to. His faith just blended into sight. Isn't that a beautiful picture? You know, Hebrews 11 talks about the prophets and just mentions the prophets. I want to talk about one prophet here, Elisha. Elisha was the servant of Elijah. Elijah found him one day. He was plowing some oxen, and the Lord had told him that he's going to be the one that is going to be the prophet in your stead. And so Elijah came and called him, and Elisha followed him. And when Elijah left, I'm sure Elisha had had plenty of faith-building experiences. And I remember when Elijah went up into heaven, and Elisha had to cross back across the river that they had just crossed. He had the mantle of Elijah. And he took it, and he struck the water, and he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And the water parted for him. Do you know, that was a building of his faith right there. And he did some amazing things by the power of God. But I think about one instance in particular. The Assyrians, I believe it was the Assyrians, were surrounding him. Ben-Hadad and his army, they came and they were surrounding the city. The king was upset because it became known to him that the prophet Elisha was foiling all his plans, because he'd tell the king, don't go here, don't go there. And he said, well, I'm just going to catch him. I'm going to put a stop to that. He didn't realize something about Elisha. You know, there's a scripture in Psalms that says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and he delivereth them. And they came near to Samaria, and the Elisha's servant got wind of what was happening, and he said, oh my. He said, what are we going to do? There's an army coming from the enemy. He said, Master, what shall we do? And Elisha said, fear not, for they that are with us are more than they that are with them. He had the same vision that David did when David said, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. He said, and then he prayed and he said, Lord, open my servant's eyes that he may see. And all of a sudden, the servant saw horses and chariots of fire all around. And they were always there. They were there before, but he just didn't see them. And I want to say something about the faith of Elisha. If you'll give me a little bit of liberty here, I feel like that Elisha didn't see those with his natural eyes. But he knew they were there. He had a connection with God. He had had so many experiences. He knew what the Lord could do. He knew that the Lord could deliver. He knew that the Lord had an army of angels that were ready to protect him, if that's what the will of God was. And he knew what was going on with his spiritual vision and his faith. His servant didn't have that. His servant didn't have the spiritual vision. His servant didn't have the faith. And so Elisha prayed and said, do this for my servant. Show him, open to his natural eyes, what I can see with my spiritual eyes. You know, I think about Abraham. in Hebrews 11 and verse 17, it says, "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called." So he already knew the promise that the Lord had given him. "This is the son that I'm going to give you that will become a great nation." He knew that. And so when the Lord called him to offer up Isaac, he said, it said, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. He didn't stagger at the promise of God at any point in this. He went and he obeyed the Lord. The Lord said, "I want you to offer up Isaac for a burnt offering." And he never flinched. It said he rose up early in the next morning. He went to obey the will of God. And he said, you know, human reasoning would have said, this is the one that's supposed to be the seed here. This is going to be your promise. Abraham said, if he dies, the Lord's able to raise him up. Think about that. Think about the faith that he had. I want to go back one chapter in Hebrews to the 10th chapter, 38th verse. It says, "Now, the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." You know, the Lord wants us to go on a journey with him. And he'll say, well, here's this. And then later, here's this. And each step increases our faith and our trust in God. But if we draw back from what we know, if we have past experiences and we know what the Lord can do, but we shut our eyes and we say, I don't believe the Lord can do this. I don't believe the Lord can help me with this. Do you know, I believe it's a serious thing to do that. Do you know that's why the children of Israel spent 40 years in the wilderness? They went through a time where they went from Egypt, the Red Sea parted. What do you need more than that to see the power of God? They got thirsty. The Lord drew water from the rock for them. The Lord gave them quail when they asked for meat because they didn't like the manna that he gave them. He rained down manna from the sky. And they'd seen all these deliverances and all these victories that the Lord gave him. And then they sent out spies to the land of Canaan. And they said, well, this land, you know, this what the Lord's been bringing us this whole way. But we can't take. We can't go in. We can't do this. The people are too big. And they had seen so much. And this is what Hebrews 10 and 38 is talking about when it says, if you draw back from what you know, my soul will have no pleasure in you. We need to be careful about this. David, you know, he wrote so many psalms of faith. He's the one, I believe, that wrote the psalm, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth him." He's the one that wrote, "Therefore will we not fear. God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed, the mountains be cast into the midst of the sea." But even David, at one point, he drew back. I want to go to 1 Chronicles, the 21st chapter, in the first verse. It says, "Satan stood up against Israel, provoked David to number Israel. He took a census of the people who were able to go to war. He wanted to know how strong his army was." And you think about it, and it doesn't sound like a big deal. You know, I like to know how much money I've got in the bank. I like to know if I have enough resources to do this or that. But the Lord had something with David where he wanted David to trust him. He had brought David through so many things. He had told David, "You're going to be king of Israel." And he had led him and kept him safe through the wilderness and all those times when Saul was trying to kill him. He kept him safe when Absalom rose up against him. And said, David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, "Go, number Israel from Beersheba even unto Dan, and bring the number of them to me, that I may know it." And Joab answered, Joab saw the folly in this, and he wasn't that good of a guy. He said, "The Lord make his people 100 times so many more as they be. But my lord the king, are they not all my lord's servants? Why then doth the Lord require, my lord require this thing? Why will he be a cause of trespass to Israel?" Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab. Wherefore Joab departed, went through all Israel, and came to Jerusalem. Do you know that failure cost David dearly? The Lord came to him and said, "Because you've done this, because you have forsaken what you knew and stopped trusting in my strength to keep Israel safe, I'm going to offer you 3 things. And every one of those things was something that was very, very, it was why David numbered Israel in the first place. It was what he wanted to protect himself from. Or it was something that would cause David to be very humbled. He said, "Famine, shall you have 7 years of famine? Or a certain period of time where you're fleeing before your enemies? Or 3 days of pestilence from the Lord?" He said, "Let me not fall into the hand of man. Let me fall into the hand of the Lord." And the angel of the Lord punished Israel for that. You know, I think one more thing I want to mention here, and that is that a lot of times we may think that we know what we need, what we should have. I think we need to be careful about praying for specific ways of deliverance or specific things that we need to... You know, the Lord said He'll take care of us. You know, I can pray. Things can be going rough, and I can say, "Well, we need to pray that the Lord will cause this job to go good because I need it to make money," or whatever. You know, the Lord can deliver us however He wants to. We need to pray that the Lord will take care of us. And the Lord says He'll provide. Let's trust Him to provide in whatever way He wants us to. A lot of times the Lord will take things away from us that we thought we had to have. I want to go to Isaiah, the 56th chapter, in the first verse. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. Neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, 'The Lord hath utterly separated me from his people.' Neither let the eunuch say, 'Behold, I am a dry tree,' or someone that doesn't have any children." You know, there's times when we can get in situations and we say, "You know, I'm in this situation and I have to be blessed this way or else my life is not going to be fulfilled. I have to have a certain way of deliverance. I have to have a certain way of blessing." The Lord said, "You know, for these people," it said, Thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths and choose the things that please me and take hold of my covenant. Even unto them will I give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters. I'll give you them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. You know, God had plans for certain people. It wasn't like maybe they had designed it for. But one thing I want us to remember is that if God chooses to bless us in a different way than what it looks like we ought to have, it's not going to be an inferior life. It's not going to be a different, or it's not going to be a worse path. But the Lord's way is the best way. It said He'll give us a name. That's what we want. We want the name of the righteous. We want to be counted among the righteous. We want the blessing of the Lord. And we want those things however the Lord chooses to bring them. I believe that's all the Lord gave me this morning. Let's ask the Lord to inspire our faith. You pray for me.